السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين محمد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وصحبه وأزواجه وذرياته وأهل بيته سلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. فما بعد، قال تعالى: إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي، يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم بارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. My brothers and sisters, we continue with our series of lectures on the rights of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam on the ummah, on us. And as I mentioned before, the issue with rights is that they must be fulfilled. And if they are not fulfilled, then we are questionable before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu. Among the huququl ibad, among the rights of the people, the number one person to whom we owe the rights to be fulfilled is Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam. Everyone else among the creatures comes after Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And therefore it is incumbent and essential for the Muslims to know what are the rights of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam on us, and make sure that we fulfill those rights over and above and before we fulfill the rights of anyone else. We mentioned seven of them. We are today on the second of them. The first of them was adab and ihtiram of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wasallam over and above the adab and ihtiram of anyone else in creation. The second one is ita'at, which is obedience. Ita'at is to obey every single instruction, every single order, every single command, every single suggestion of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. This is how the Sahaba Ridwanullahi alayhim ajma'in understood the term ita'at. This is what they did. There was no discussion among the Sahaba Ridwanullahi alayhim ajma'in when it came to something that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam either said directly or indirectly or implied. There was no discussion among them to say, how important is it to obey this one? Did he really mean it? Did he really emphasize that? This discussion wasn't there. To give you one of the finest examples of this from the seerah, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went down one street in Medina, and he saw a house which was being built, and this house was two stories, and it looked like there was something else also going to come on top of the two stories. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam looked at the house. He asked the people, whose house is this? They said, Ya Rasulullah, this is so-and-so's house. And that person also was a Muslim. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not say anything. But the people with him, by looking at his blessed face, they realized that he did not like what he was seeing. And he passed on. He went away. He was going somewhere. On the way, this was there. Some people were with him. So he asked, whose house is this? And they told him whose house it was. And they saw an expression of dislike on his face. That's it. He did not say anything. He did not say, convey my message, this, that, nothing. He did not even say, I like it, I don't like it. He didn't say anything. Just the expression on his face. Some days passed, and Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam happened to come by the same place after a few days, and he found that on this building site was a pile of rubble. There was no house. So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, isn't this the same place we were last? They said, yes, Ya Rasulullah. He said, what happened to the house? There was a house was being built. He said, Ya Rasulullah, the person who was building the house, somebody went and told him that you looked at his house and you did not seem to be happy, so he demolished it. Now, see the adab and ihtiram and itaat of the Nabi. The man minimum, the man could have come and asked the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, Ya Rasulullah, I believe you passed by here and I believe you did not like what you saw. You know, am I doing right? Am I doing wrong? I mean, if he had done that, was that wrong? That was perfectly logical. That was perfectly correct. There was nothing wrong in doing that. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam could have explained to him, told him, yes, I like it. No, I don't like it. Do this, do that. Keep one story. Don't keep two stories. Whatever. But the love and muhabbat and the itaat and adab of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was such in the hearts of the Sahaba Ridwanullahi Alayhim Ajmain that they said, even if any action of mine brings a single wrinkle on the blessed forehead of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, this is not acceptable to me. Today we have, may Allah protect us, I think, the opposite of knowledge is not ignorance. The opposite of knowledge is the illusion of knowledge. So today we have, this is our biggest bimari, this is the biggest disease, that people think they have knowledge. So they want to get into discussions about, is this haram or is it makruh, is it tahrimi, is it tanzihi, and so on. They don't even understand the istilahat, what they mean. But they want to use the istilahat because it sounds, cool or whatever, right? So you learn something from somewhere and you want to use it on all unsuspecting people. The Sahaba didn't think like this. I'm not saying these istilahat are wrong. They are correct. They have a place. You have to understand the usul of the Sharia. When you will understand what the istilahat mean, then you don't ask stupid questions. But the Sahaba Ridwanullahi Alayhi Ajmain, for them it was very clear that their Islam is what we should have in our hearts, which is very clear, clear, black and white. What Allah likes and what His Nabi likes and what they don't like. They didn't worry about, do they not like it too much, or they don't like it a little bit, or they don't like it somewhere midway, do they don't like it 10%, do they don't like it 90%. They didn't worry. What Allah does not like, what the Nabi does not like, we don't like. Period. Khalas. And therein lies safety. My brothers and sisters, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent the Anbiya alayhimus salam to be obeyed. And this makes logical sense because this is the first principle of change. That any change must be implemented for people to feel its benefit. So if change is implemented, people will see whether this change is good or not. And how can that be implemented? If you listen to the one who is bringing about or who is suggesting this change. And that is the reason why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَا مِنْ رَسُولٍ إِلَّا لِيُطَاعَ بِإِذْنِ اللَّهِ. Allah said, we have not sent any messenger but to be obeyed by the idhn, by the leave, and by the permission of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Very clear. Allah said, the purpose of every messenger is that he should be obeyed. And that is the reason why the famous hadith of in Bukhari, Sahih hadith in Bukhari, narrated by Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu, who said that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, everyone from my nation, everyone from my ummah will enter Jannah except those who refuse. So they asked him, Ya Rasulullah, who will refuse? Now the Sahaba were astonished. Somebody will actually refuse to go to Jannah? He said, Ya Rasulullah, who will refuse? Rasulullah said, whoever obeys me enters Jannah and whoever disobeys me has refused. Please notice, he did not say whoever obeys me in terms of ibadat, whoever obeys me in terms of charity, whoever obeys me in terms of huququllah or huququl ibad or this or that, whoever obeys me. Irrespective of what that hukum of the Nabi is, alayhi salam. Whoever obeys me will enter Jannah. Whoever refuses to obey me has refused to enter Jannah. Please apply this to yourself and let me apply it to myself and say, what is it that we do with regard to the ahkam, with regard to the orders of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? And the orders of the Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Allah told us to obey the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. What is the name for the orders of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam? What is it called? The Sunnah. So when people say, well, this is only a sunnah, as I said in my last khutbah, to speak in a manner discounting the sunnah is kufr. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has ordered us to follow the sunnah. So if you say the sunnah is not important to follow, you are actually speaking against the hukum of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that is what makes it kufr. Because if you are going to deny the ayat of the Quran, what is it? What is it called? So very important for us to understand this. Now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, may Allah grant us the tawfiq not to refuse Jannah. I remind myself and you that the most common reason we refuse to obey Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is because of our own slavery to our desires and our nufus. Let me not leave without my standard complaint about beards. Why do you shave? You like to shave. You are not an enemy of Allah. You are not a awlad of shaitan. Nothing. Right? May Allah bless you. May Allah protect you. May Allah reward you. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala cause your beards to be miraculously grown in such a way that no amount of shaving will take them off. Right? But seriously, why do you do that? Because this has custom and practice, right? We did it all our lives. We feel more comfortable with it. The beard grows. It feels scratchy and so on and so on and whatnot. End of the day, what are you doing? You are refusing to obey the order of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam. Anyone wants proof of where is it in order, please come and ask me. I will show you the hadith. After that, it is between you and your Rabb Jalla Jalalu. The same thing applies to everything else. What do we do in our weddings? We know what the sunnah is. But what do we actually do? We do everything other than the sunnah. All kinds of khurafat, all kinds of ostentation, all kinds of haram functions, all kinds of nonsense we do. Why? Because it pleases us. Because this is our culture. Because this is our, you know, so-called tradition. Please understand, the Sahaba also had all kinds of traditions and cultures which were haram, which were not the cultures of Islam before they became Muslim. The difference between them and us, among the 10,000 other differences, is the fact that when they became Muslim, they dropped everything else. They brought only one criterion of judgment and they said, does this conform with Islam? Does this please Allah? Is this what Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam taught us? If the answer was yes, they did it. If the answer was no, they stopped doing it. No matter how old that custom was, no matter where it came from, no, nothing. We will do what pleases Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We will not do what does not please them. End of story. Why do you want to complicate your life? Life is very simple. Life is very, very simple. So let us not fall into the trap of being those people who refuse to enter Jannah. Let us be among those who Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, every one of my ummah will enter Jannah. Let us be among those, inshallah, who will enter Jannah. So seriously, if we want to be enslaved to our nufus, if we want to be enslaved to our desires, just ask yourself, what is the price that I am paying? What is the price that I am going to pay? May Allah protect you from this. I am only quoting the hadith. I am not making a fatwa. I am only quoting the hadith. If we refuse to obey Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam in any matter, no matter what it is, because the hadith's statement is not qualified. Therefore, if we refuse to obey Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam in any matter, and if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala holds us to this hadith of His Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and said, you refuse to obey my messenger, therefore you have refused to enter Jannah. What are you going to say? What am I going to say? Not doing something because it did not know, because it was a mistake, is a different matter. But knowing that something should be done, we deliberately don't do that, we deliberately go against it, this is a very different ball game. Please don't play games with your own life. And that is the life in the hereafter, the life forever and ever. It is not worth the price. At least it doesn't seem to me to be worth the price. Right? So each one of us has to decide what to do. So ask yourself that, is whatever we want to do, which is against the order of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and will and can result in our being listed amongst those who refuse to enter Jannah, is it worth that price? Do we really want to live pretending that we are Muslims, or do we want to live as real Muslims? And what's the difference? Real Muslims obey Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam without qualification. Pretenders obey their desires and they obey shaitan and they do not care about the price because they do not really believe in Allah and the Akhirah. Because if you believe in Allah and the Akhirah, how can you not worry about the price? The only way you can not worry about the price is if you do not really believe that this is the price that you have to pay. So let us do that. Let us stand up and let us take stock of what we are doing and change before it is too late. My brothers and sisters, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala Jalla Jalaluhu made it a condition of iman that we should accept every decree and every order of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam without question, and said that if we do not do so, we would be out of Islam. Allah said, Fala wa rabbika. Allah is taking an oath by Himself. He's saying, no, by your Rabb. It's an oath which starts with nafi, which starts with denying, and then with isbat, which is the oath itself. فَلَا وَرَبِّكَ لَا يُؤْمِنُونَ حَتَّى يُحَكِّمُوكَ فِي مَا شَجَرَ بَيْنَهُمْ ثُمَّ لَا يَجِدُوا فِي أَنفُسِهِمْ حَرَجًا مِمَّا قَضَيْتَ وَيُسَلِّمُوا تَسْلِيمًا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in Surah An-Nisa, but no, by your Rabb, they can have no iman, they can have no faith until they make you, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the judge in all disputes between them, and they find in themselves no resistance against your decisions, and they accept them with full submission. I remind myself and you, what is the usul with regard to the punishment on something? Is thinking about something punishable? If I think about stealing, is it punishable? No. It becomes punishable only when I go and steal. But here, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has changed that rule. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying that they have no iman until they make you the judge. And then not only do they accept your judgment and follow the judgment, but they do not even think and feel any resistance against that judgment in their hearts. The feeling in the heart is being made as the criterion of judgment of whether you are a Muslim or not. That is how serious the matter is. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَمَا كَانَ لِمُؤْمِنٍ وَلَا مُؤْمِنَةٍ إِذَا قَضَى اللَّهُ وَرَسُولُهُ أَمْرًا أَن يَكُونَ لَهُمُ الْخِيَرَةِ مِنْ أَمْرِهِمْ وَمَنْ يَعْصِ اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهُ فَقَدْ ضَلَّ ضَلَالًا مُبِينًا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in Surah Al-Ahzab, it is not for a believer, man or woman, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam have decreed in a matter, when they have decided, when they have adjudicated, when they have ruled in a matter, that they should have any option in their decision. Meaning, if that is the ruling, khalas, that is the ruling. There is no option in the decision, should I obey, should I not obey, does it apply, does it not apply. No, if there is a ruling of Allah and Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then that is it as far as a believer man or woman is concerned. And whosoever disobeys Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he has indeed strayed in plain error. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to save us from falling into these traps. Because these are literally issues of being inside Islam or outside of Islam. I'm not telling you to go and pronounce fatwa on people and takfir and say you are out of Islam because of this and that's not. The point of all this is for us to reflect on ourselves, not for us to make judgment and pronouncements on other people. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, إِنَّمَا كَانَ قَوْلَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ إِذَا دُعُوا إِلَى اللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ لِيَحْكُمَ بَيْنَهُمْ أَنْ يَقُولُوا سَمِعْنَا وَأَطَعْنَا وَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْمُفْلِحُونَ. Allah said, and all the all that the believers say, and this is Surah An-Nur. Allah said, and all that the believers say when they are called to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His Messenger, that He may judge between them, is to say, we hear and we obey. And these are the ones who are successful. What do the believers say? Sami'na wa ata'na. Sami'na, dil mein bola to ata'na, nahi bola to nahi ata'na, nahi bolte. Muslimana. Kya samjhe? All my Arab brothers look at me blankly. Good. Something you should not know. This is our culture. Let it be like that. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu istajibu lillahi wa lirrasooli idha da'akum lima yuhyikum. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, again Surah Al-Anfal, O you believe, answer Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by doing what Allah has told you to do. Answer Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by obeying him and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam when He, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, calls you to that which will give you life. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is calling the obedience to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as a life-giving force. Because this is what gives life to our iman. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said to obey Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is to obey Himself. Jalla jalaluhu. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَمَا يَنْتِقُ عَنِ الْهَوَىٰ إِنْ هُوَ إِلَّا وَحْيٌ يُوحَىٰ. He said, and he, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, does not speak out of his own desire. It is nothing but a revelation revealed to him. This refers to the Quran. It refers to all the teachings of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It refers to all his rulings and all the decisions that he made. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, مَنْ يُطِيرْ رَسُولَ فَقَدْ أَطَى اللَّهِ وَمَنْ تَوَلَّ فَمَا أَرْسَلْنَاكَ عَلَيْهِمْ حَفِيظًا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in Surah An-Nisa, and whoever obeys the messenger, thereby he obeys Allah. وَمَنْ يُطِيرْ رَسُولَ فَقَدْ أَطَى اللَّهِ. The one who has obeyed the messenger has obeyed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And as for those who turn away, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is absolving Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam from responsibility. He's saying, as for those who turn away, we have not sent you as a guardian over them. وَمَا عَلَيْنَا إِلَّا الْبَلَاغُ الْمُبِينَ. Your job is to convey the message clearly to them. And then it is between me and them. Yeah? This is, please understand this. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is being removed from between the abd and the rabb. So what is Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَاكَ إِلَّا رَحْمَةً لِلْعَالَمِينَ. And if that rahmah is removed from between the abd and the rabb, then what remains? The justice of Allah. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to save us from ourselves. Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is a protection. When the protection is removed, of course Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can forgive who He wants. I'm not denying that. But I'm saying when the protection of the rahmah is removed, then what is left is the adal of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Between Him and the slaves who disobey Him. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to save us from being in that situation. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, قُلْ أَتِيُوا اللَّهَ وَأَتِيُوا الرَّسُولِ فَإِنْ تَوَلَّوْا فَإِنَّمَا عَلَيْهِ مَا حُمِّلَ وَعَلَيْكُمْ مَا حُمِّلْتُمْ وَإِنْ تُطِيعُهُ تَحْتَدُوا. The one who obeys is the one who will be guided. وَمَا عَلَى الرَّسُولِ إِلَّا الْبَلَاغُ الْمُبِينَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in Surah An-Nur, obey Allah and obey the messenger. But if you turn away, he, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, is only responsible for the duty placed on him, which is to convey the message, and you for that which is placed on you, which is to obey. If you obey him, you will be rightly guided. The messenger's duty is only to convey the message in a clear way. Again in Surah An-Nisa, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, يَوْمَ إِذٍ يَوَدُّ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا وَعَصَوُوا الرَّسُولَ لَوْ تُسَوَّى بِهِمُ الْأَرْضُ وَلَا يَكُتُمُونَ اللَّهَ حَدِيثًا. Allah said, on that day, which is the day of judgment, those who disbelieved and disobeyed the messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will wish that they were buried in the earth. But they will never be able to hide a single fact from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. My brothers and sisters, I remind myself and you, the time to make changes is not when we are standing before Allah. There is nothing that one can do at that point in time. Nobody can do anything. The time to make changes is now. And therefore decide whether you are going to die or not. If you are not going to die, then alhamdulillah, do whatever you like. But if you are going to die, then the next point to decide is, will you stand before Allah or not? If you are going to die and you are not going to stand before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then do what you like. But if you and I believe, and alhamdulillah, we believe this, that we are going to die, and alhamdulillah, we believe this, that we will stand before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and alhamdulillah, we want to be among those people about whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Yarjullaha wal yawm al akhira, who not only believe they will stand before Allah, but they want to stand before Allah. They look forward to standing before Allah. Why? Because they expect the rahmah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the maghfirat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the mercy and blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yarjullaha, they desire this. Then let us start behaving like that. And the first step to behave like that is to obey Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in everything that he told us to do and in everything that he did. My brothers and sisters, the last ayah in this section, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِنَّمَا الْمُؤْمِنُونَ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا بِاللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ ثُمَّ لَمْ يَرْتَابُوا. They believed and they did not turn away. وَجَاهَدُوا بِأَمْوَالِهِمْ وَأَنفُسِهِمْ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ أُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الصَّادِقُونَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, only those are the believers. Yeah, conditional ayat, all of these. Only those are the believers who have believed in Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and afterwards did not doubt. ثُمَّ لَمْ يَرْتَابُوا. After that, no doubt. So satisfy yourself completely and totally. As I have said many times before, there is no blind faith in Islam. There is no blind faith in Islam. There is faith, there is absolute obedience without question, not obedience without understanding. Why do we obey without question? Because we have understood already. We have understood who is Allah, Jalla Jalaluhu. We have understood who is Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We have understood what is the Akhirah. Therefore now when a hukum of Allah comes before us, when a sunnah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam comes before us, we don't argue. There is nothing to argue. What is there to argue? All the argument I had to do, I did before I entered Islam. Once I have entered Islam, there is no argument because all of that got settled. Before I entered Islam, it all got settled. We asked all the questions we wanted to ask, no problem. But once you are in Islam, then we have Iman at the level of Yaqeen, inshallah. We ask Allah for this. It is necessary for every single one of us to consciously enter Islam. Being born in the house of Abdul Rahman does not necessarily make you a Muslim. Please understand this. Just because your father had an Arabic name or a Muslim name or a Muslim sounding name means nothing. Each one of us has to consciously enter Islam. Alhamdulillah, we are born in Muslim homes. This is a blessing from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But consciously make that decision. Am I a Muslim? If I'm a Muslim, let me start acting like a Muslim. Let me not say I'm a Muslim and then I do everything else which Muslims don't do. No, sorry, it doesn't work like that. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave us a standard. And who are the standard? The Sahaba of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. My whole series of lectures on the gold standard of the Sahaba. We have to try to attain that. Whether we attain it or not is a different matter. At least let us make an effort, a sincere effort, to attain that level of the Sahaba, Ridwanullahi alayhi majmain. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive our shortcomings in that matter and to reward us and to join us with them, Ridwanullahi alayhi majmain, when we meet him. My brothers and sisters, there is no ayat in the entire kitab of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala where obedience of Allah has been mentioned alone with no reference to obedience of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Not one single ayah. And this is because it is impossible to obey Allah without obeying Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. On the contrary, the Quran did not deem it sufficient to refer to the obedience of Allah without referring to the obedience of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to remove even the remotest excuse for ignoring the obedience of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and to leave no doubt whatsoever in the fact that obedience of Allah is not complete unless obedience of Rasulullah is fully observed and done with all its implications. Finally, to conclude, The consequences of obedience and the consequences of disobedience. About the consequences of obedience, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu in Surah An-Nisa, He said, وَمَنْ يُطِعِ اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهُ فَأُولَٰئِكَ مَعَ الَّذِينَ أَنْعَمَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِمْ مِنَ النَّبِيِّينَ وَالصِّدِّيقِينَ وَالشُّهَدَاءِ وَالصَّالِحِينَ وَحَسُنَ أُولَٰئِكَ رَفِيقًا. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for this, inshaAllah al-musta'an. Allah said, whosoever obeys Allah and the Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then they will be in the company of those on whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has bestowed His grace and His ni'mah, from among the prophets, the siddiqoon, the shuhada, the martyrs, and the salihin, the righteous people. And how excellent are these companions. So let us decide, who do we want with us? Who do we want to be with when we meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu? You want to be with the people who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala praised and said, what wonderful companions. Or do you want to be with people who have made it their habit and their culture to disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Choice is yours, choice is mine. As I told you, nobody is friendless in this world. Everybody has friends. Every single person has friends. Every good person has friends, every bad person has friends. There's no one who's friendless. The choice we have to make is, what kind of friends do I want? As they say, you are the product of the five people who are around you. Quickly take stock. Who are the five people you see on a daily basis? You are a product of the five people who are around you. If those five people are people who disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then that's who you are. And if those five people are people who are obedient to Allah and His Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then that's who you are. As simple as that. So consequences of obedience, alhamdulillah, we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us among those who are obedient to Him, jalla jalaluhu, and to include us among those who are obedient to Him from the muqarrabun, insha'Allah. And the consequences of disobedience, in Surah An-Nisa, Allah said, وَمَنْ يَعْسِ اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهُ وَيَتَعَدَّى حُدُودَهُ, who go beyond the boundaries of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, يُدْخِلْهُ نَارًا خَالِدًا فِيهَا وَلَهُ عَذَابٌ مُهِينٌ. Allah said, and whosoever disobeys Allah and His Messenger and transgresses the limits of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah will admit him into the fire where he will remain forever. And he will have a disgraceful torment. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to save us from this and to make us among those who will be granted Jannatul Firdaus Ulala bi ghairi hisab. Having made the dua, I remind myself and you that empty duas without dawa are useless. I can make dua till the dry drop dead, but unless we act, that dua will be of no use. We have to take action, and only then will the dua start working. And the action is to change our lives, starting from when? Right now. Right? Make the niyyah right now. And then sit down and say, inshallah mustaan, and sit down and say, in my life, where am I disobeying Allah? Where am I disobeying Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam? And stop it immediately. Whoever is unhappy, these are the people you don't want with you. Alhamdulillah, let them be unhappy. They will go away. That is very good. And if they are happy, they stay with you. So one of two things will happen when you bring about a change in your life. Either the friends who are there, they will change. So which is very good, alhamdulillah. Or they will leave you, which is even better. Right? Simple as that. So alhamdulillah, don't worry about public opinion. Is the most utterly useless thing in the entire world. Totally, utterly useless. We are living in absolute, it's like living in insanity, inside an insane asylum. When I was growing up, I used to live in Sanat Nagar, and when I went for a walk, we used to pass Erragadda, which is where the asylum is, the insane asylum. Today you can put a wall around the whole world practically. Yeah? You don't need an asylum. Everybody is in the inside. There are people who are inside and outside. Now everybody is inside. Because we are living in this make-believe world. Yesterday, did you see that? This video is going around on the IKEA store opened in Hyderabad. Huh? Wallah, if Allah opened Jannah in Hyderabad, I don't think you would have a crowd like that. Inna lillahi wa inna ilaihi rajiun. People fighting, hitting each other, killing each other, all kinds of, just to get into this.
The store is there. It's not going anywhere. Right? It's a store, for God's sake. It's not a bus or something. Why must you, I mean, humiliating yourself, acting like beggars going for some beak or something. Inna lillahi wa inna ilaihi raji'un. This is our world. This is the make-believe world. إِنَّمَا الْحَيَاةُ الدُّنْيَا إِلَّا مَتَاءُ الْغُرُورِ. This is the figment of the imagination. This is the world which is teaching you that buying IKEA stuff on day one is the sign of your qabooliyat before Allah and His Messenger. نَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ. This is a sign of success. Astaghfirullah al-Azim. Please, I mean, let us, I mean, I know none of you were there. And if you were there, keep your head down. Don't even... May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala open our eyes to the reality of life, which is the time when we meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala Jalla Jalalu. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us obedient to Him and obedient to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, because this is the only route to success in dunya wal akhirah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless you. May Allah protect you from all evil. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect you from that which you can see and that which you cannot see. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect you from that which you know and that which you do not know. Those of you who are ill, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give you shifa kamila wa ajila. Those of you who are stuck in debt, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala remove those chains of debt from you. Those of you who are in any kind of difficulty and trouble, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala remove that difficulty and trouble, because for Him, Jalla Jalaluhu, everything is easy. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyil kareem wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajmain bi rahmatika ya arhamar rahimin.